A Sherlock Holmes Collection by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Copyright Burlington Books. A Scandal in Bohemia. My name is Dr. John Watson. I am a friend of the great detective Sherlock Holmes. I got married a few months ago. After I got married, I did not see Holmes very often. He stayed at his house on Baker Street. He was busy with the study of crime. Sherlock Holmes solves mysteries that the police cannot solve. One night, I decided to visit Holmes. I rang the bell. He was happy to see me. I sat down and he offered me a cigar. Then he stood in front of the fire and looked at me. "You look well. Married life is good for you," he said. "And I can see that you are working as a doctor again. I also know that you went to the countryside this week, and that you have a careless servant girl." "My dear Holmes," I said, "you are very clever. It is true that I went for a walk in the country on Thursday. I came home very dirty, but I changed my clothes, so how do you know? It is also true that we have a careless servant girl. How do you know all these things?" Holmes laughed. "It is easy," he said. "There are 6 scratches on your left shoe. I can see that a careless person cleaned your shoes. I know that you are working as a doctor again, because you smell of antiseptic." I laughed at his reply. Holmes made everything sound so obvious. "Look," he said. He gave me a sheet of pink writing paper. "The postman brought this. Read it aloud." The letter did not have a date on it, and it did not have a signature or an address. The letter said, "Dear Mr. Holmes, a gentleman will come to see you tonight. He needs your help with something very serious. The man will wear a mask, so do not be surprised. I know that I can trust you." "This is a mystery," I said. "What do you think?" Holmes asked. I looked carefully at the writing and the paper. "I think that the writer is rich," I said. I wanted to be as clever as my friend. "The paper is unusual. It is expensive and very strong." "Yes, it is unusual," said Holmes. "And it is not English paper. Hold it up to the light." I held it up. On the paper, I saw the letters EG, P, and GT. "The GT stands for Gesellschaft," said Holmes. "That means company in German. The P stands for Papier, paper. So this paper is from a German-speaking country." Holmes took an encyclopedia from a shelf and opened it. "Look, the EG stands for Egria. That is in Bohemia. What do you think of that?" "The paper is from Bohemia," I said. "Precisely, my dear Watson. We must discover what this man wants. I think I can hear him now." We heard slow, heavy steps on the stairs. Then there was a loud knock at the door. "Come in," said Holmes. A man entered. He was strong and tall. He wore expensive clothes. There was a black mask on his face.
"Did you receive my letter?" he asked.
He had a strong German accent.
"Yes," said Holmes. "Please sit down. This is my friend and colleague, Dr. John Watson. Who are you?"
"I am Count von Kram, a Bohemian nobleman. I want to speak to you alone, please."
I got up to go, but Holmes stopped me.
"You can trust my friend," he said to the Count. "You must both promise to keep my secret," said the Count.
"We promise," said Holmes.
"I am sorry about this mask," our strange visitor continued. "Count von Kram is not my real name. I am here to see you because I want to prevent a scandal."
"I know," said Holmes. He sat down and closed his eyes.
"You are Wilhelm Gottsreich Siegmund von Ormstein, Grand Duke of Castle Falstein and King of Bohemia. Your Majesty, please tell me how I can help you."
The man was shocked. He jumped up from his chair. He pulled the mask off his face and threw it to the ground. Then he said, "I am sure you understand. I come myself because I cannot trust anyone with my secret. 5 years ago, I visited Warsaw. There I met the famous opera singer Irene Adler."
"Watson, please find the notes I have about her," said Holmes. He had notes about many interesting people. I found the notes quickly and gave them to Holmes. "Let me see," he said. "She was born in New Jersey. She sang at La Scala and at the Imperial Opera of Warsaw. But she doesn't sing in operas now. Ah, now she is living in London. I believe Your Majesty fell in love with this young woman. You wrote her some love letters, and now you want those letters."
"That's correct," said the King. "But how do you know?"
Holmes did not answer the question. He continued, "You think that she wants to show the letters to someone, but can she prove that you wrote them?"
"Yes, the writing paper is mine."
"You can say that she stole it."
"The letters have my seal."
"You can say that she copied the seal."
"But there is also a photograph."
"A photograph?"
"Yes, a photograph of me with her."
"Oh, no, that is very bad. Your Majesty was very careless."
"I was mad. I was only Crown Prince then. I was young."
"Your Majesty must obtain this photograph."
"I tried. It was impossible."
"You must buy it from her."
"She does not want to sell it. Steal it."
"We tried 5 times. We did not find it." Holmes laughed. "You have a big problem," he said.
"Yes, and it is very serious for me," said the King.
"What does Irene Adler want to do with the photograph?" Holmes asked.
"I am going to get married soon," said the King, "to Clotilde Lothman von Saxe-Meiningen. She is the daughter of the King of Scandinavia. Irene will give the photograph to Clotilde's family. They will stop the marriage. Irene will not let me marry another woman. She loves me."
"I see. Are you staying in London?"
"Yes. I am staying at the Langham Hotel. Ask for Count von Kram."
"What is Miss Adler's address?"
"She lives at Bryony Lodge in St. John's Wood."
Holmes wrote down the address. "Good night, Your Majesty. I hope we will have good news for you soon. And good night, Watson. Please come tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. I want to discuss this with you." I arrived at Baker Street at 3 o'clock the next day. Holmes was not at home. I sat down by the fire to wait for him. At 4 o'clock the door opened. An untidy man walked into the room. His clothes were old and he had a red face. I knew that Holmes often wore disguises, but I was not sure if this person was Holmes. The man walked into the bedroom. Yes, it was my friend. 5 minutes later, Holmes came out of the bedroom. He was clean and tidy, and he wore a suit. He sat down in a chair by the fire and lit his pipe.
"Well, really," he said.
"What?" I asked.
"Something very surprising happened this morning," he replied.
"What?" I asked again.
"I went to Irene Adler's house, Bryony Lodge," said Holmes. "I was disguised as a groom. I spoke to the carriage drivers there. I helped them with their work. They told me about Miss Adler."
"What did they tell you?" I asked.
"She is very beautiful. She lives quietly and sings at concerts. She drives to the park at 5 o'clock every day. She returns at exactly 7 o'clock for dinner. She rarely goes out at other times. Only one man visits her, Mr. Godfrey Norton. He visits her every day, and the carriage drivers often take him home. They told me all about him. Then I walked up and down the road near the house and thought about Godfrey Norton. He is a lawyer. Does Miss Adler need his help? Are they friends? Has he got the photograph? Suddenly, a carriage arrived at Bryony Lodge. A man jumped out. He was very handsome. I was sure that he was Mr. Norton. He shouted to the driver to wait. Then he ran into the house. I saw him in the sitting room with Miss Adler. He walked quickly up and down.
He talked a lot, and she listened. When he left the house, he was in a hurry. He looked at his watch anxiously. He got into the carriage. "Drive to St. Monica's Church," he shouted to the driver, "and hurry." They drove away. At that moment, another carriage arrived at Bryony Lodge. Miss Adler ran out of the house and got into it. I only saw her for a moment. She is a very beautiful woman. "To St. Monica's Church, John," she said to the driver. The carriage drove away. I decided to follow them. At that moment, another carriage came into the street. I stopped it and jumped in. "St. Monica's Church," I said. "Please drive as fast as you can." We drove very fast. I paid the driver and went into the church. There were only three people there: Miss Adler, Mr. Norton, and a priest. They were in front of the altar. I sat down like a normal visitor to a church. Suddenly, to my surprise, the three people looked at me. Godfrey Norton came towards me. "Thank God," he exclaimed. "You can help us. Come, come." "How can I help you?" I asked. "Come, please," he said. "The priest will not marry us. We need a witness. Can you help, please?" He pushed me to the altar. I signed some papers. It was very quick. Then Miss Adler thanked me, and Mr. Norton shook my hand. Holmes laughed. "What do you think about that?" he asked. "I am very surprised," I said. "What happened then?" "They spoke of the church door. Miss Adler said, 'I will come to the park at 5 o'clock as usual.' Then she returned to her house alone." Holmes looked into the fire. Then he said, "I have a plan to find the photograph, but I need your help." "Of course," I replied. "There is a risk." "I'll help you," I said. "But what must I do?" "Irene Adler will return home from her drive at 7 o'clock this evening. We must be at Bryony Lodge when she returns." "And then?" I asked. "I plan to get into the house," Holmes replied. 4 or 5 minutes later, the sitting room window will open. You must stand near the window. You will see me in the room. You must watch me." "And then what?" "When I wave to you, throw this small smoke rocket into the room." Holmes gave me the rocket. "Then shout, 'Fire!' and walk to the end of the street. I will arrive 10 minutes later. Do you understand everything?" "Yes, you can trust me," I said. "Excellent. Now I must get ready." Holmes went into the bedroom. He returned a few minutes later. He was dressed as a priest. At 6:30, we went to Bryony Lodge. When we arrived, it was dark. We waited outside for Irene Adler to arrive. There were a lot of people in the street. "When will you look for the photograph?" I asked Holmes. "I won't look for it," he replied. "How will you find it, then?" "Miss Adler will show me where it is." "But how?" "There is no time to explain. Look, she is coming." Irene Adler's carriage arrived outside the house. A man opened the door for her. Another man pushed him away. He wanted to open the door. The two men started to fight. Suddenly, Holmes ran forward to protect Miss Adler. One of the men hit him. Holmes fell to the ground. He had blood on his face. Irene Adler looked down at him. "Oh, the poor priest, he's hurt," she said. "He is very brave," said a woman. "We can't leave him in the street. Can we take him into the house?" "Of course," said Irene Adler. "Take him into the sitting room." I stood near the window for a few minutes and watched. I had the smoke rocket in my hand. Holmes lay on the sofa. He pointed to the window. A servant opened it. Then Holmes waved his hand. I threw the smoke rocket into the room and shouted, "Fire!" The people in the street heard me. They also started shouting, "Fire!" Thick clouds of smoke filled the room. I walked to the corner of the street and waited. 10 minutes later, Holmes arrived. "Well done, Watson," Holmes said. "It went very well." "Do you have the photograph?" I asked. "No, but I know where it is."
"How?"
"Miss Adler showed me where it is."
"Why, I don't understand," I said.
Holmes laughed. "It was very easy. I paid the people in the street to help me.
Oh, I said. I had red paint in my hand, continued Holmes. When I fell, I put my hand on my face. It looked like blood. It is an old trick. They took me inside. Then I asked for some fresh air. The servant opened the window.
But how did the smoke help you to find the photograph? I asked.
Irene Adler thought that her house was on fire, said Holmes. She wanted to save the photograph. It was behind a picture on the wall. She went to get it. Then I shouted, "There is no fire. It was a false alarm."
She quickly put the picture back and went out of the room. I wanted to take the photograph, but there were other people in the room.
"What are you going to do now?" I asked.
"I am going to tell the king. We will visit Bryony Lodge again tomorrow. The king will come with us. The servant will ask us to wait in the sitting room. Then we will take the photograph. We will leave before Miss Adler arrives." We returned to Baker Street. A young man was standing in the street. He called to Holmes.
"Good night, Mr. Sherlock Holmes."
"I think I know that voice," said Holmes. "Who is that man?" I slept at Holmes's house that night. In the morning we sat down to eat breakfast. Suddenly, the King of Bohemia arrived.
"Have you got the photograph?" he asked.
"Not yet," replied Holmes.
"But can you get it?"
"Yes, I believe I can."
"Then let's go. My carriage is waiting."
We left again for Bryony Lodge. "Irene Adler is married," said Holmes on the way. The king was very surprised.
"Married? When?"
"Yesterday."
"Who did she marry?"
"An English lawyer called Norton."
"But she cannot love him," said the king.
"I hope that she does."
"Why?"
"Because then she will not love you any more," replied Holmes, "and you can marry another woman. Irene Adler will not try to stop you." When we arrived at Bryony Lodge, the door of the house was open. A servant stood on the steps.
"Are you Mr. Sherlock Holmes?" the servant asked.
"Yes, I am Mr. Holmes," answered my friend, surprised. "The lady of the house left this morning with her husband. They left England."
"What?"
Sherlock Holmes was very surprised.
"Irene Adler is not in England?" he said.
"She will never return," said the servant.
"What about the photograph?" asked the king.
"Let's see," said Holmes. He pushed past the servant and went into the sitting room. We followed him. Holmes took the picture off the wall. There was a letter and a photograph behind it. The photograph was of Irene Adler on her own.
"She took the photograph with her. This is a different one," said Holmes.
"And look, the letter is addressed to me."
He picked up the letter and started reading it. "Dear Mr. Sherlock Holmes, you were very clever in my house yesterday. I did not know who you were. When the smoke filled the room, I went to the photograph. It was exactly as you planned, but then I understood that it was a trick. You are very famous. I followed you to your house. I wore a man's suit. I said good night to you outside your door. Tell the King of Bohemia not to worry. I will not use the photograph. I am keeping it to protect myself. Now I am in love with a better man than he. I do not want the king to show the photograph to my husband. I will not contact the king again. Here is another picture. It is a gift from me to him. Yours truly, Irene Norton Adler."
"What a wonderful woman," said the King of Bohemia.
"She is a clever woman," said Holmes. He looked at the king. "She is happy now, but I am sorry I did not get the photograph for you."
"It is not important," the king replied. "She will keep her promise. She will not show the photograph to anyone."
"Then there is nothing more to do. Goodbye, Your Majesty." Holmes bowed to the king, and we went home. And that is how Mr. Sherlock Holmes saved the kingdom of Bohemia from a scandal. But Holmes never forgot the woman who ruined his plans. Irene Adler was cleverer than the great Sherlock Holmes.